The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 575. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seely.
What's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, party people?
And I'm assuming still joining us live from San Francisco, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
How you doing, Rich? How's the Game Developers Conference treating you?
Well, the Game Developers Conference was pretty good, and it's already over because I'm back in ATL.
Hey, let's go. All right.
Magic City, baby.
You know? All right. We're definitely going to make time tonight, you know, before the show ends to, you know, hear some of your stories. Pretty sure you got some good gossip. Hopefully you got some stories you could tell us on air, you know, but, you know, and we'll have more fun afterwards. But, you know, we're glad you're back, and I'm glad it was a successful GDC. That's good to hear.
Yes, sir.
All right. And speaking about GDC, that starts us off tonight with Xbox. Miss Asha Sharma had her very first GDC, and she discussed more about Project Helix. One of the main things that came out of it is that, you know, because people were afraid, like, oh, what's going to happen with the legacy Xbox games? You know, they said, you're good. You're going to be able to play all your Xbox games on this thing. So that's kind of interesting. So I'm going to read this real quick from Game Informer, just a short little article, just a recap, and then we'll get into it. As the Game Developers Conference rolls on this week, one of the biggest keynotes came from Xbox. That's because the company took the stage to reveal new information on Project Helix, the recently revealed codename for its next-generation console. As previously detailed by Xbox CEO Asha Sharma, Project Helix is being designed to play console and PC games. The keynote states that as part of Xbox's multi-year partnership with AMD, Project Helix will be powered by a custom AMD SoC, basically a multi-integrated microchip, and is co-designed for the next generation of DirectX and FSR. What that means is that the hardware will deliver, according to Xbox Wire post by Vice President Jason Ronald, an order of magnitude leap in ray tracing performance and capability that integrates intelligence directly into the graphics and compute pipeline and drives meaningful gains in efficiency, scale, and visual ambition. Or to put it plainly, games will look more realistic, boast more dynamic worlds, and feel more immersive overall. Ronald also reveals that Xbox plans to ship alpha versions of Project Helix to developers starting in 2027. He also discusses Xbox's strategy for breaking down the barriers between console and PC games. Interesting. To create more seamless cross-play between multiple devices. The goal is to give let me finish reading this. We're almost done. The goal is to give studios a simplified development plan to help reduce production costs. To this end, Xbox has also taken a page from the ROG Xbox Ally by introducing an Xbox mode to Windows 11 in April, starting in an unspecified select markets. Xbox mode lets players, you know what Xbox mode does. Then the last a paragraph here. With developers getting the first look at Project Helix next year, we probably shouldn't expect the full reveal until 2028 at the earliest. It's hard not to feel a little surprised that Xbox is openly discussing its next console already until you realize it will be 6 years since the Xbox Series X and S launched this November. The flow of time is strange and unsettling beast. I agree with that. All right, Brett, what's your take on it? What did you want to say?
I was going to ask if we could break it down bit by bit, because that's like a lot to take in all at once. And
okay,
the first two points just sounded like we're making a console that through technological upgrades will look better.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it says. You know, they said this all before. Oh, we're creating the next hardware. It's going to be amazing. But it seems like it's basically a continuation of what they've been doing now. Since it's using AMD, you know, they're going to be doing FSR and all that stuff.
Yeah, it just sounds like word salad for, like, the next console will look better, which no shit. Like, I feel like the first half just meandered through a forest of word salad, and then there was some notable stuff in the back half. But, like, yeah. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but, like, my brain could not, like... And I feel like that was kind of like intentional. I'm like, okay, I got lost in the sauce after the first part.
Just so you know, I'm reading Game Informer. I read the condensed version of what was on the blog. The blog was way longer than that. I purposely chose an article that was six paragraphs long to keep things nice and short.
Okay, so they're just doing that thing where they're like, we have technical prowess because we have big words.
Yeah. Again, I gave you the editorial version, which just... shrunk all the bullshit, you know.
Did it say anywhere there or there in there about the projected $1,000 plus price point?
You know, Xbox didn't talk about that.
That's what I'm saying. They're talking about it, throwing a million unnecessary words and not using any of the ones that fucking matter. Just okay. So like, just making sure that this is a gigantic nothing burger. Like, wow, I thought there might be something in here, but
actually, there's a couple of things. Remember, the rumors originally said 2027. If developers are just getting development units in 2027, I agree with this writer. I think 2028 is more realistic, which is interesting.
If you're only just giving developers specs, what are you going to be making? You're just going to be porting a bunch of old games.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you're not going to get anything new.
They should have all that information. They should have had all that information at least 2 years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. So, but think about this, Manny. Even if it comes out in 2028, that would still make it the longest console generation. And you're right. It's probably going to be 2029, maybe 2030. Very interesting. Dude,
Sony came out and said that they weren't planning on releasing theirs at PS6 until 2030.
Pretty much.
Like that, Microsoft has a ton of wiggle room in here. So I'm going to skip steps 3 through 7 and ask you guys what I just expect the last step to be. Just cut through the noise and save everybody some fucking time. So like Sony's desire to pull back and push into exclusives, and Microsoft's, you know, hey, how about you just take all of our exclusives too? Like it's just an astoundingly dumb choice. It pretty much cooks Xbox. So and I've been thinking about this all week, and this is kind of the topic. Is there a way that Microsoft can roll back its we're putting our games on PlayStation now that PlayStation has thrown down the gauntlet? Or do you guys think that that's just not a thing that could happen? Like, can we get back to exclusivity console wars, or is just Xbox laid out here to cook? Because unless we can say no to that second part, I don't give a shit about anything. Because like, it's unless you can pull it back from the edge, like you're cooked. You're an ancillary device. It's not going to fill any particular role, and this is going to be your last hurrah.
All right. So the interesting thing about that is that, and I'm going to tie a couple of things together here. One of the things that Asha specifically said when she started was, we're here to bring Xbox back, right? That's one thing, which let people go, oh, we make exclusives. And now, Brett, I'm kind of skipping to the next story, but it all comes together. The specific page that had, you know, this is an Xbox, anything's an Xbox, that page no longer exists. Microsoft isn't using that tagline anymore.
I feel like Sony kind of made that choice for them. And, like, it's going to be really interesting if they do walk that back to see the army of screaming fanboys. But
which fanboys are going to scream? Because the Xbox guys, they're already like, oh, we're going to get exclusive again? Yes, please. You know,
dude, even if they do get exclusive, you know, there are going to be Xbox fans who are going to yell about that. That's a bad idea. Like
it's
a nest of creeping harpies. It's just
some will. But
it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But some will. But I think the majority will be happy. Like just at the prospect. One of the things that when Asha was tweeting those fake tweets, the thing that people kept asking her most was, are we getting exclusives back? Please bring back exclusives. People want it. And I said this on the last show. I hope it's true. I want Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox to all have exclusives again. We need that. You know,
I would agree. If multiple companies that are competing have exclusives, now we're back in the sweet spot as consumers. Yes,
that's what I want. You know, if you want to have your multiplayer games across devices, go ahead. But you need those games that, like Brett, we talked about last week, that give your console an identity. Xbox needs to bring back an identity, and then we'll be back to hopefully better times. So that's what I'm hoping here. You know,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But yeah, you know, if the console wars are back. You know, Carlos, you're saying, right? The console wars back on the menu, boys. We need that
shit. There we go.
I'm going to title the episode of Throwdown that one day when it happens, you know? but yeah, okay. So, and I said this before, but like, I hope this thing has the, you know, the simplified Windows. There you go. It's going to have that, which is smart. The 2028 timeline is very interesting to me, you know? Because, yeah, it just means we will absolutely get the longest console generation, right? Because it was supposed to start next year, right? That's not going to happen for either of them, you know?
Well, let me ask you this, Tony. Like, we don't need anything for this.
We didn't. We get shit. I'm jumping ahead of you. I'm with you because we didn't get shit for this generation. What the fuck were we going to get that's different next year? You know what? Nothing. So you go ahead. You extend that shit. We don't need it.
2 years before we got anything. So like, even if they release it in 28, like we're not, then like it doesn't get games until 2030. What are we at? Same place we've been.
Yep. So extend. Go ahead. That's another good point. This console didn't really quote unquote start until what? A year ago, maybe two. Keep it going. Keep it going, man. We're good. You know, we got PS5 Pro. We're good. Oh, man. So
maybe we'll wait maybe long enough to where all the prices go back to normal, back to being normal again.
Yeah. Go back to the launch price.
Yeah. Go back to the launch price.
Yeah. All right. By the way, since I mentioned it, what do you guys think about Xbox retiring the This Is an Xbox campaign? Very interesting. Manny, you know, do you think this validates those reports about Sarah Bond? Cause apparently this was her baby. Now they're getting rid of that shit.
Yeah, I guess it was a big mistake, huh? I don't know. But I think about it. It's like they keep saying Sarah Bond, you know, here it was Sarah Bond's deal. But to be honest, it's like Phil needed to approve that shit. He could have been like, no, it cuts a hole into all of our stuff.
Buck stops with him.
Yeah, he's the head of Microsoft Games. So he could have been like, no, this is not what we're doing. Unless Xbox was totally frigging, what do they call it? What do they call that? You know, like autonomous from the Microsoft Games division. But I mean, they're all in the same fucking building.
Yeah.
It's not like Sarah Bond just said, hey, no, just did it, and then Phil's like, hey, what the fuck's going on around here? You know? I don't know. It's a weird
Sarah.
Awesome. It's like, we're getting rid of the this is an Xbox campaign. Well, Phil, you got to take the ill for this one because you let Sarah go roughshod all over this. I don't know.
I agree. I agree with that. What about the rest of you guys? Are you upset that this campaign is going away?
It was bullshit, to be honest. This is an Xbox.
Yeah, it was. And the memes, I can't, at least the memes are funny, you know? But yeah, I agree.
One of our shows was called This Is an Xbox, and we showed a PlayStation and a Play.
This podcast is indeed an Xbox. What's your theory, Brett?
It's not my theory. I mean, it's like, I want to say AMD is already doing it with their graphics cards. I want to say, and I'll have to look up the resource. I think I may have even sent this, Tony, like AMD's graphics cards are jumping from like the 5090s are jumping up to $5,000.
Well, 5090 is NVIDIA.
NVIDIA.
Okay. They're jumping up to $5,000. The 5090s are jumping up to $5,000. And this is because NVIDIA, I guess, not AMD, manufactured like less than 40%. They manufactured 40% of what they usually do because they were pivoting towards AI, therefore making a market shortage, and then they raised the price due to the unfortunate market shortage. And it is the most Nintendo shit I've ever heard. And their kind of response is, well, don't worry, we're gonna, you know, it's planned to have shortages for the next couple years, but we're also you know, coming up with an idea where we're going to, you know, basically rent you a virtual PC so you won't have to have a graphics card. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God. This is going to be the second time that Microsoft does something incredibly shitty and we all go, no. And then it just becomes the industry standard a decade later.
I mean, Satya Nadella, you know, the head of Microsoft, said literally said that. Like, he said, hey, if this shit is too expensive, cloud gaming's an option. He said that. This is what they want.
I know.
They want us there, Brett, because, you know, they could suck more money out of us and control, you know?
God, you will own nothing and like it.
Yes, you will eat the bugs. You will live in the pod, you know? It's that type of shit. But, yeah, very interesting that this campaign is gone. I say good riddance, you know?
I think the campaign's gone. I don't think the sentiment is gone. I think the sentiment is still there the same way it is with NVIDIA. It's just quiet now, and quiet feels insidious to me.
Yeah. I don't know. NVIDIA's not being very quiet about it. You see what the CEO said? He said scarcity is a good thing for them. He said that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, no. Apparently, no.
You know.
He's saying the quiet part out loud, huh?
Yeah, no, I wrote a story on this. I'm like, did he really just say that? Like, was that misconstrued? Is that mistranslated? No, he said that. He goes, this chip shortage is a boon for us. Well, what about gamers, motherfucker?
You don't care about them. But
they made the chip shortage by making less chips.
Yeah. It's insane.
So it's all, he's just proved that it's all artificial scarcity.
Yeah.
He said it.
I mean, it also doesn't help that fucking OpenAI had bought like 40% of the world's, you know, RAM. I'm not making up that number, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
One fucking company, 40% of the world's RAM, bro. Wild. Mm-hmm. Wild.
And you go from a public platform, right? You have everybody, a public platform, and then all of a sudden you lock the door down once you got everybody's information. They're fucking scumbags, man.
Yeah.
What a weird thing for a nonprofit. Oh, wait, they're not nonprofit anymore.
Are they?
It's so weird.
Listen, I know this is a gaming podcast, but I need to read this tweet. Sam Altman is horrible. He really is. Let me find his fucking tweet. So this is how it goes. This regarding Sam Altman, you know, CEO, founder of OpenAI. The tweet goes, let me get this straight. OpenAI was founded as a nonprofit, open source to everyone to benefit, you know, to quote unquote benefit humanity. Then he raised billions of dollars. Then he closed the source code. Then he converted to for profit. Then he scraped the entire internet without asking anyone. Then he used your writing, your art, your code to train his models. Now he's on stage saying you'll pay him to access intelligence, just like a water meter. He stole all your data. He built the product with your work, and now he's going to bill you to use it. Corporate greed has reached an all-time high, and they're not even hiding it anymore. Yep, I agree with that.
Yep.
It's insane, man. Anyway, back to gaming. Let's move on to Steam Machine, something that's being delayed because of the chip shortage.
Just to leave what you said on a high note.
Yeah.
I just read a great article that was talking about why they're having so much problem with alignment because AI hates billionaires. So that's fun.
Yeah, man. So Valve released the requirements, the Steam Machine verified requirements, and they're targeting 1080p resolution and 30 frames a second. So I'll read this. It's all bullet point stuff. To be Steam verified, all Steam Deck verified, all Deck verified games, I guess they're putting them under the same umbrella, all Deck verified games are machine verified. Makes sense. The same sim input expectation at the Deck, 30 FPS at 1080p for verified, performance 6x Steam Deck, not testing display resolution or legibility, updated API to detect hardware. All right.
Here's the 6x that in Steam Deck?
Yes. Yeah. Performance.
Okay. All right. I can remember that.
Yeah. We don't care about the Steam frame. Here's the thing. I know when you hear 1080p 30, you're like, what the fuck? You know, but that's just kind of, I think that's just the baseline. It could probably go up for certain titles, you know. I don't find that too egregious, to be honest, you know.
I mean, that's what most people's living room is kind of set up, unless you want to go 4K. So,
well, I mean, there's not really a lot of... They're going to use a DLSS and all that stuff to blow you up to 4K.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
or FSR in this case.
The world of monitors, that sounds shitty, but if you're looking at the world of TVs, it's like, well, TVs are 1080 or 4K. There's not any in between.
That is true. That is true. There's no 1440p TVs, you know?
Crazy thing. So, let's see. So, I totally lost it. Sorry.
Oh, well. Was it about the Steam Machine?
Yeah, it was about the Steam Machine. It was something, some question I had about computer. Well, oh, yeah. What graphics card is in it? AMD?
It's AMD, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Probably going to be a custom AMD, you know. I don't know if it's officially out yet. Probably will be. Obviously, it will be when this thing drops. If you want me to, I could find the more specs on it for you. But yes, AMD, so it's going to be using FSR, you know, their version of DLSS, all that. And I think you're right, man. That's how they're going to kind of circumvent. That's how they're going to be able to get your games to run at a better frame rate, you know? Like, it is, you know, 1080p. You upscale it, and, you know, you get the FSR going, and it'll look nicer and run smoother, which makes sense. You know, you don't want the thing to blow up, you know? I'm with it, man. Again, if this thing is at a really nice, affordable price, man, it'll be a good alternative. And I'll tell you this, man, and I could at least say this, right? Because obviously I can't tell you any details about Crimson Desert, but I've been playing this game for like 2 weeks now. And I'm just like, man, you know, I don't like dealing with some of this PC gaming bullshit, you know? Like, it would just be nice to have a little box like the Steam Machine here under my TV, turn it on, play my fucking game, no hassle. You know, no fucking having to switch monitors, audio inputs, and all this shit just to play a fucking game. Having to, you know, worried about my HDMI cable not being right, getting fucking flicker when I try to turn on HDR, all this bullshit. Like, I'm like, I know how to deal with this, and I don't want to deal with this, you know? So this thing could be a great solution, you know, but we'll see how much that shit costs, you know? And we'll see how much longer it's going to be delayed for. Because, again, because of all this shit that's going on, these companies are waiting until the last moment, you know, to either release it or tell us what the price is, or both, as we saw during CES. Bro, I visited, like, every top laptop manufacturer. Only one had fucking laptops that were on sale. That was Dell. Everybody else is like, yo, we don't fucking know. You'll find out when we do. Literally. Oh, yeah. You know, it's shit. It's crazy right now, bro.
Did you get a Dell?
Yeah, the Dell. Yeah, the Dell is a good too. I reviewed a Dell XPS. They brought the name back. They got rid of that premium bullshit. What, Dell? What were you thinking, bro?
That is stupid.
Yeah.
Didn't they have Alienware before that?
They still own Alienware. They still own Alienware. Okay. Oh, that was the funny part, right? So when I went to, you know, sidetrack, when I went to the Dell event in December, pre-CES event, right? I wish more video game developers would do this shit. So before the show started, we were wondering, when are they going to bring back the XPS name? Because nobody liked the whole Dell Premium, Dell Plus Pro. So we were taking bets, like, oh, yeah, it's going to take 2 years, maybe 3 years. Then they'll come back to reality. Bro, the new guy in charge of, you know, the Dell division comes out in a fucking XPS t-shirt. I'm like, oh, shit. And then he flat out says, unequivocally, you know how you expect these kind of executives to be like, oh, yeah, you know, we gauged the audience and we found out that perhaps we didn't do things. My man said, hey, we messed up. We're sorry. He flat out said that. I'm like, oh, shit. I looked at my boss. Wait, like, yo, what? Did he? Yeah, an executive flat out said, we messed up and we're sorry.
Somebody guard that man.
Yeah. A Western CEO, because, you know, Japanese motherfucker would be bowing for 2 minutes.
also, didn't he's been saying a lot of things. Like,
man kept it real. He, you know, because we asked him, where's all the AI branding? He goes, yo, that AI shit confuses people. We're not gonna advertise it. It's there if you want to use it, but that shit just confuses people. He flat out said that. Like, this shit confuses people. We're not gonna push it in their face. Like, and we're like, what about Microsoft? Like, yeah, we still got our deal with Microsoft, but you know, like, we're not gonna just push this shit on people. Like, that dude was candid as fuck. Oh, and man, that's the point. I got sidetracked. So what I wanted to say was, so Dell comes out, big rebranding. Meanwhile, Alienware is like, hey, we're getting this, like, you know what we're doing for rebranding? Nothing, because everybody liked our last year shit, so we're giving you more of it. They didn't do anything. They were happy, you know? Anyway, so yeah, Steam Machine, the Gabe Cube. curious, man. Very curious about this thing. All right. Moving on here. We're still on Valve here, I believe. Oh, yes. We kind of talked about this before. Blue Point Tech Boss. I don't know if he's, you know, Blue Point Games. I don't know if that's they're related or not. But this guy used to.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He is, right? But he used to belong to Blizzard, right? So I'm just going to read this headline. Blue Point Tech Boss suggests Sony's scared of Valve, not Microsoft, and that's why it's pulling back from PC. It would be quite ironic if Valve ultimately ended up winning the console war. That's what I said. I said Sony's scared of that motherfucking Steam machine. They don't want to fuck with it. So like, yo, pull our games back. No more PC ports. We're done. You know, so this guy kind of verified it. I don't know if there's anything more to say about that. You know,
they scared of Microsoft. They hide from them. But like, I was kind of the opposite. I was like, I'm shocked they're not terrified of Steam because they should be.
Yeah. Well, that's what this dude's saying. And I agree with him because I said the same shit last week.
Also something very interesting. By the way, he has been silent for at least a year.
Oh, this guy?
Yes. He only recently started saying something. By the way, when is Blue Point supposed to be closing its doors?
Oh, when?
Fairly soon.
Uh-oh. Yes, man. He is from Blue Point, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Peter Dalton is the dude's name, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. So I was following him. But, yeah.
Are you saying he's talking shit out the door?
Hell yeah, he is. Hell fucking yeah, he is. If he hasn't already left, if he's not already gone... You know, he's probably all he can do is probably just look at his fucking phone because they're just waiting for the freaking for the doors to close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the final salute should be with the middle finger. I agree.
Yeah. So
if you guys will indulge me, I want to read his tweet. He goes, I read an interesting take on why Sony may be pulling back from pushing PC releases and instead focusing more heavily on exclusives. Some people frame this as a response to Xbox, but I'm not convinced that's the real driver. A more interesting possibility is that the rise of a Steam-based console ecosystem. Consoles largely exist because they provide a cheaper, simpler alternative to gaming PCs. For most households, a dedicated gaming console is easier to justify than building or maintaining a high-end PC. However, if Valve releases a new Steam console that provides a console-like experience while still giving players access to an entire PC game library, that could be a very compelling option, which I agree with. In that scenario, if Sony were releasing all of its games day and date on PC, the Steam console could effectively offer the best of all worlds, console simplicity with the full breadth of PC gaming. It would be quite ironic if, after decades of traditional console competition, Valve ultimately ended up winning the console war. Yep, I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. Let me follow this guy. Bro, that seems cool.
Bro, this Voltron hasn't even busted out the head yet. And, like, that's the thing that gets me, right? Like, they haven't talked about it. Like, this may sound like I'm pulling shit out of my ass, and in a way I am, but bear with me here for a fucking second, right? We all know that the idea of an ecosystem is a highly valuable idea to almost all of these companies, right? Not just exclusives, an ecosystem. Ask Apple about the value of an ecosystem. Ask Samsung about the value of an ecosystem. The idea that your items work together, right? And now... picture this, a future where you don't have that wall between your console and your PC gaming, and everybody wants to come up and everybody wants to build that bridge, right? But nobody can do it like Steam does, because Steam can actually hook your fucking physical PC to your console. But yeah, I talked about this before, but like game streaming, leveraging the power from one place to another, save sharing, platforming, even just like the ubiquitousness of, you know, just plug in whatever fucking keyboard you have and you can type on your console and not just be restricted to this fucking, like, the entire culture of how you talk is different on different platforms. And, like, there are times when I would have been like, you know how nice it would be if I could just fucking plug in a keyboard, just fucking type some shit in Monster Hunter instead of having to get on a mic or something like that? Like, nobody talks on Xbox. On PlayStation... which is so weird because it's in the mic. It's in the fucking microphone. And the microphone is in the controller. You don't have to do anything. It's there by default. Still nobody talks. So, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, these environments are so important. And so when you tell me, like, hey, this Steam box, it leverages the power of your gaming PC. Like, oh, bro, fucking done. Like, I mean, nobody's even brought that to market. Like, they don't need to. But, like, God forbid that that becomes a selling point, because fucking done, as far as I'm concerned. Because, you know, they're basically saying, like, hey, you know that thing that you already have at home that you're playing games on, you have a bunch of titles for? Yeah, we're going to leverage that and just expand. And now we have the ecosystem of the entire entertainment system of your home.
Yeah,
for Netflix sure. could be coming begging to us next.
Hmm. But yeah, pretty interesting stuff.
Even more,
go ahead, bro.
I think it's what you said was even more brilliant, because it deconstructs the ecosystem. There's no ecosystem with Steam. It's a PC, right? So it's just a bridge, right? It's just like you have, it's a bridge to your living room, and it's a bridge to portables, but it's still PC gaming. So that's the brilliant part about it. You're not locked into anything with Steam. It's actually opening things up. It's like the inverse of everything that Sony and all these guys are trying to build, Nintendo especially, right? Like, you're locked into their system. You want their exclusives. You have to play on their system. You have to play their way, right? You have to sign their EULAs and all that stuff, just like you said with Apple and all that shit. But this is the opposite. And I think it's brilliant, because it's going to show people a different way of doing things. Like, you don't have to be locked down. You don't have to, like, the Steam machine might open up, you know, other things in the future. You know, I hope the AI bubble pops so prices can come back down, because then there can be alternatives. And I don't think Gabe cares, because Steam has the software, the store to back it up. But to have alternatives, just like there's alternatives to Steam Deck, there's Steam Deck and RG Ally and the Legion Go. You can have other things, and then you're not locked into anything. And then he even said you could play you don't have to install your games off Steam on the Steam machine. You can install whatever you want. That's fantastic. That's going to show people, and you can put that in the living room and show people, hey, you don't have to be locked into like the eShop or PlayStation Plus or anything like that. That's going to be huge. That's what Sony's afraid of, right? That's, you know, that whole thing with monthly active users. Like, that's the holy grail for all these exclusive companies. This breaks that completely.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what they're afraid of, right? Getting people, like, why would you keep your PS Plus? Steam doesn't require you to have a membership. Mm. It doesn't require you to have anything. And that's fantastic. That's what they're afraid of. Nintendo's on that, too. If you don't have, fucking expansion pass or whatever they call
it. Yeah, that's right.
They're screwed, too. Yeah. That's a huge part of their revenue now. Monthly active users. They lose that. That's key market they're losing. So that's why they're afraid of it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I also want to throw in there, like, fucking, one, mods, but two, like, even as Chris was saying, like, that money that you free up, like, I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I was perusing the Steam store, and I saw ESO, Elder Scrolls Online. I was like, oh, yeah, I played that on PlayStation, right? Like, it wasn't bad, you know? I could see its potential to be a money sink, though, so I never really got into it. And then I was like, holy fuck. They had a $15 a month subscription plan. Right, that I'm sitting there being like, yeah, I don't really want to do that. Like, that's too expensive. Like, that's how much I would pay just to fucking be online. I could have just bought reckless microtransactions for the same price of just fucking existing. God, it pisses me off.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else got anything to say about these remarks? I'm gonna take that as a no. So move on. No. Oh, go ahead, Manny.
No, I'm good.
All right. Let's talk about Marathon. and this is one of these cases.
Are we running it?
We have to.
Yeah,
are we running a marathon?
We do, because we're actually going to be grilling Overwatch developers. Believe it or not.
Uh oh.
So go ahead, bro.
Do you guys think Marathon's here for the long haul? I'm so sorry.
That's funny. Maybe it's just here for a sprint. So basically, you know, obviously there's a lot of people on Twitter posting player counts of Marathon, and the player counts have been going down. They haven't been taking a plunge, but they are going down, right? I think the top concurrent players was 88,000, which is not a lot. I'm pretty sure Sony's not happy about that, right? So now a Overwatch senior developer has taken to, you know, social media to say that anyone who's engaging in looking at the Steam numbers are engaging in quote-unquote big unemployed maiden list behavior. Yeah, because telling people that they're a bunch of sexless losers is going to get them to play Marathon. Yeah, that's smart.
How dare you take Elden Ring's name in vain? Pointless plebeian.
Oh, man.
Get back in your fucking box.
Yeah, so he's basically saying you're a fucking virgin, you know?
What the fuck is wrong with these guys? Why do they think this is a winning strategy to insult people? If you say this, you fucking basement dweller, you're not getting laid. Like, what
is it?
I mean, it works every time, Chris. It works every time. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this. This is somebody at Blizzard, right? Saying this.
Overwatch is Blizzard, right?
Yes. Yep. So Overwatch, somebody at Blizzard. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna say this. The person that took over Overwatch, the people that took over Overwatch, are a bunch of fucking asshole bros.
Uh oh.
Nobody fucking likes those assholes. And their idiotic pivot that, you know, when they did with friggin' what they did with Overwatch 2. That's why Overwatch 2 did absolute shit, because they fucked with a bunch of stuff that was already working. So they could go jump in a lake.
Wasn't Mike Ybarra like one of those?
He was at one point.
Like same type.
Yeah, it was a bunch of asshole bros that took the shit over, and then they tried to fix a bunch of shit that wasn't broken, and that's why nobody fucking came back. And now that's why Overwatch has to literally drop the 2 and essentially say they're going back to formula. Oh, funny that.
Yeah. One of the developers of Warframe also commented, but they didn't insult anyone. At least they were at least mm-hmm. saying, like, hey, you know, our game didn't start with big numbers, but over time we managed a steady rate. That's at least respectable. You're not that's dissing people, you know. But the other guy said, you're engaging in an online maidenless behavior. He's saying, oh, you're fucking incel. That's what he's saying. You know,
I like the lingo from a game more successful than his.
It's funny that he's saying some stuff like that, because who would you say that a lot of the player base is? People that don't actually have day jobs. So,
oh man,
I don't know.
Yeah, but that and kids and like the 13-year-olds that are playing your game are probably maidenless, and that's probably a good thing.
And they're probably unemployed because they're fucking kids.
They're probably kids. Like it. So I don't know. I think you know, bro gamer needs to shut the fuck up and let people buy shit instead. Let people get into things naturally instead of trying to browbeat people into
you know what
into stuff.
I'm offended. Why is he assuming that they're attracted to women?
That's a very good point. I mean, how dare he be homophobic?
I'm deeply offended by these comments. You know?
Yeah. So apparently he's assuming that the people that play Overwatch are a bunch of gooners, huh?
Mm. Yeah. A bunch of homosexuals. Why are you dissing gay people, sir? That's highly offensive.
How about them apples, buddy?
It's fucking insane, you know?
I just want to say, 1998 called, and it wants both this joke structure and that stereotype back.
Yeah, right? Jesus. Man. Yeah. Go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, because Overwatch is doing so well, they had to go back to formula. They need to go shut the hell up. Just shut up and make your games. How about that one?
I've never heard of anybody losing a sequel. I'm sorry, man. I didn't realize that. That shit is funny. Like, you reverse your sequel so bad. You reverse aged.
Yeah, they reverse their sequel.
Like what? Like, you do that when your game's successful, right?
No. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do that stuff when people are utterly happy and your game is doing successful. You just reversed your sequel. No. Nobody liked Overwatch 2.
I'm still deeply offended by these homophobic comments, man. I can't. Anyway, also related to and perhaps unrelated, who knows? So Bungie was supposed to have 2 GDC panels about Marathon, and they canceled both of them. They didn't explain why. Very interesting. You know why. Because nobody's playing this stupid game.
Nobody's playing the game, and nobody's curious to ask the deeper knowledge of their thing, because maybe somebody might ask, hey, did it take abusive behavior to get this game abusive behavior and art theft to get this game out?
So, Chris, what's your thoughts on that, man?
I think it's hilarious. I think between this and them asking them asking reviewers not to review the game until the main part comes out. It's like, why did you release this at all if it wasn't complete? And now it's like, oh, you're canceling GDC talks. Like that bodes well, you know. That instills confidence, you know. But please buy it.
Yeah. So the
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. No. Oh, so the panels in question were
free weekend.
Yeah. One of them. Yeah. Free weekend. The whatever the server slam, whatever they called it. yeah. They had the server slam, and motherfuckers weren't interested. And one of the panels was on high performance networking for gameplay movement and shooting. Another was on scaling and automated testing from Destiny to support Marathon as a live service game. You know, very game developer centric stuff. But they canceled both of them. Very interesting. Sign of a healthy game.
Meanwhile, Fortnite's now what, six games?
Pretty much. Or more, probably. All right, speaking about L's, we got to talk about EA laying off a big chunk of their Battlefield Studios developers after, even though the game, quote unquote, had a record-breaking launch, that didn't help things in the end, did it? You know? And here's the crazy thing. Now, this part is kind of unconfirmed, so take it how you will. That part is true. Everything I just said is true. But this part is the unconfirmed part. I need to verify it. Apparently, EA expected Battlefield 6. Get ready for this one. No, you know what? Let's scale it back. Let's have some fun. How many copies do you think they wanted this game to sell?
Oh, no.
Let's have some fun here. Brett, you go first. How many copies do you think they wanted this game to sell?
I'm just going to confidently be wrong and say 10 million.
Okay, fair enough. Chris?
They're going to be ridiculous. I'm going to say 15 million.
15 million? Okay. Manny? He might be going. Carlos, how many copies do you think? And don't answer if you saw the answer in the Discord, by the way.
Oh, no. I don't think I saw it. Okay. So how many copies EA thought Battlefield 6 was going to sell, right?
Yes.
5 million?
Okay. And Rich, how many copies do you think they wanted this game to sell?
6 million, because it's Battlefield 6.
All right. I want to tell you that all the numbers you gave me, I'm going to combine them, and it's still not what EA wanted.
What is it, 30?
30? No. Wow. Apparently, they wanted this game to sell, and I am not exaggerating here, 100 million copies.
Oh my God.
Do they have a move?
That, just for perspective, that would make it the fourth best selling game in history.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah, I know, Brett. I know.
I think Brett passed out, man. Brett, don't have another seizure, all right? We need you.
100 million games.
Holy shit, man.
They're crazy. Again, I got to verify that specific, but somebody tossed the headline over in the Discord. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Really?
Expected to be out of the job by October. Oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
That's the kind of mess you leave for somebody else. Yeah, totally gonna sell 100 million copies. All right, I'm retiring. Bye, Chuck.
See, all you guys posted reasonable Call of Duty numbers that are still ambitious, right? These motherfuckers wanted the moon and the fucking rest of the solar system.
Oh God. Did they think they just make a PUBG?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, you sweet summer morons.
Oh, God. Brett, that's probably what happened. These motherfuckers, oh, look how many players Fortnite has. We could do that. Oh, God, that's probably what happened. This is how out of touch these fucking executives are, you know?
This is the thing I want to actually ask. I'm ready to make this like a Joan of Arc level fucking thing. When you say developers were laid off, please tell me that that is an umbrella term for everybody who worked in certain sectors, including the managers, and that they didn't just lay off the bottom rung creatives.
I don't know. They didn't specify who.
Also, weren't they just recently bought?
What, the Saudis?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if this was before or after they were bought, but yeah.
Oh, God. Did. No, I
No,
they not only did they, not only it was that way expected, but Eurogamer reported on this last July. They expected this game to sell 100 million copies.
Were half of those copies going to be selling to the Saudi Arabia public fund?
Know?
Yeah, how come the Saudis didn't buy all those thousands of copies?
That's insane.
Yeah, that's nuts. No.
No, again, these idiots probably saw, oh, look at the numbers Fortnite's getting. We could do that, bruh.
No, only four games have done that. Like, ever. Ever.
Yeah. No, yeah, only three other games. Oh, my God. That's insane. So, if you have that high expectations and you don't meet it, you're going to fire people because you're stupid.
Also, is it too soon for me to say it's kind of weird that the Saudis are now in charge of our military war games?
The Saudis are in charge of everything now. It's very disturbing that the...
Yeah, but there's a palpable irony here, correct? I mean, maybe I'm just old now.
Yeah, I could get into that, but I won't. It's the whole Saudi shit. Actually, you know what? I'll fucking say it, man. Because I'm really blaming fucking these greedy-ass developers. They just see green and they go, oh, fuck, we'll go for it. What about the culture, bitch? You know? What about integrity, motherfucker? No, you don't care about that. You just care about the fucking money. Oh, those motherfuckers have money? Their views are aligned with ours? I don't give a fuck. They only gig out what I want. Money.
So,
you know?
So, you ever see a movie called Network?
The Facebook movie?
No. The movie, it's called a Network, right? It's essentially, it's the most favorite line, you know, famous line that came from it is, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah.
Right? I'm
there's
mad.
There's another speech that this guy gives at later on in the film. And he's like, which is literally about exactly what you're talking about. He's like, there's no such thing as belief. There's no such thing as country. There's no such thing as state. All there exists.
The money.
Is money.
Yeah. That's a great line.
The money.
The money. Yeah. That's all it is. That's a great line. Very appropriate.
Yeah. It's by your favorite actor. He played, he was in Ned Beatty. He was in Superman.
Oh, Ned Beatty. So
he's playing the evil corporation, and he's like, "Yeah, you may have, yeah." He's like, "What do you think this is?" It's like, "There's none of this exists." All you know, people, all, you know, like size, like yeah. It's all going into one inalienable truth, which is money. Doesn't matter any about that. They'll sell you a song. They'll put you on a side, but really they're just playing both sides.
Yeah.
So that's all this is. So.
Oh, why that reminds me of the Doflamingo quote. Like, will justice prevail? Why, there's no other way.
Yeah. By the way, Manny, when you said Ned Beatty, I was like, Dick Tracy? No, that's in the wrong Beatty.
Yeah, Warren Beatty.
Yeah, that's the wrong Beatty.
Ned Beatty's, hey, Mr. Luthor.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Luthor. Oh, man, that's fun. Yeah, but fuck. No, I was about to say something I shouldn't say, but yeah, fuck these greedy-ass Western developers taking money that they shouldn't be taking. I'll leave it at that.
Soft power. That's all it's all about.
Yep. See, I don't mind soft power. It's coming from South Korea. You know, they got hot women over there. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. No. They got that fried chicken too. I'll take that. You know,
that real KFC.
You know, but the Saudis. I don't know about that, man. You know, even you know, like Jagan. I don't need any of that, bro. I'm good. You know. Oh God, no. The processor. Do terabytes of wham. All right. Moving on here. Did anybody see that Digital Foundry Crimson Desert video? I just
no.
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
I am curious to hear what they have to say about.
Yeah. Rich. I literally put that there because I didn't get to see it, but I was like, if anybody saw it, because our, you know, the fans in the Discord are like, yo, this is crazy. This is hype. But Rich, what would you think of it? What did they talk about?
So basically, they talked about the PS5 Pro
performance Del Monte.
Of the game, how the game performs on PlayStation 5 Pro. Now, I would like to make a comment in this. And obviously, like I had said on the last show, I do not have a review code. So I guess I am free to say whatever I'm going to say. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. This came out because there were people that were questioning where is the console version of the game? Because this is how this started. There were people online complaining because they saw the PC footage and they were asking, okay, how does this game perform on console? So what Pearl Abyss did is they sent PS5 Pro footage to Digital Foundry to have Digital Foundry talk about this game as far as the PS5 Pro version is concerned. Now, the question that came out today, well, what about the base PS5? What about Xbox Series X? And I think that is hilarious because Digital Foundry, they normally cover every console. So clearly, if they don't have access to that version yet, I think it's fair to be concerned about that because everybody doesn't have a PlayStation 5 Pro. They are selling this as, yes, you need a PS5 Pro to really experience this, or a PC. And the thing is, when I saw this game multiple times last year, I already knew this is a game that I think you should get it on PC because that is the best version of the game. So I understand what the strategy is here, but I think it's very interesting because, again, when they sent out review codes, they're sending out PC codes. But yet, they showed the PS5 Pro footage. So now a lot of people are like, oh, this is amazing because this is on PS5 Pro. But does the average person have a PS5 Pro? That is the question. If they don't, I don't know how that helps them. They still need to see it, how it's going to run on their actual console.
You're rich. Isn't this supposed to be coming out on the Series X or the Series S? Mm-hmm. I mean,
oh yeah, it's coming out on the X and S. And mm-hmm. Carlos, this game is coming out next Friday.
Hmm.
Next Friday.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Now you know what to get me for my birthday.
Yeah, I mean, the game looks great on the video that they had. And again, I will give a shout out to Digital Foundry because they did say, we are very interested to see how this game performs on Xbox Series X, S, and PlayStation 5. So I am expecting them to do a follow-up video when that version is available. And I would like to see what the deal is with that. But again, very interesting video, I would say.
Yeah, good stuff. I guess we'll find out how it runs on the other consoles next week, you know, and I'll be able to talk. Yeah, and I'll be able to give you my review of the PC version because that's the only code they had at the moment. I'll be able to do it on Thursday because I believe the embargo lifts on Wednesday. So perfect, mm-hmm. perfect timing there. Stay tuned. And then the last thing, Rich, I'm going to give the floor over to you. Tell us about GDC, man. You know, wherever you want to take it, go ahead.
Oh, yes. So I would say this, a very interesting, a nice little trip away for a few days going to GDC. Obviously, for those who don't know, that is the Game Developers Conference. So this is not your typical event where you go to and you're previewing a whole bunch of games. This is not Summer Game Fest or PAX or anything like that. However, it is a great place to go if you are basically trying to look for job opportunities within the industry, talk to a lot of different developers. And I would say this actually was a very good trip for me because, yeah, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people, getting their perspectives on all types of stuff that's happening in the industry. Obviously, a lot of people were talking about what's going to happen with Xbox. They're very curious about, this was prior to what you guys spoke about earlier about the presentation they had. A lot of people were very curious about what's going to happen with Xbox. A couple of developers I spoke to, I flat out asked them some questions in regards to Game Pass and how it impacted their particular titles. And quite a few of them said, hey, if we didn't have our game on Game Pass, we wouldn't be able to make other games. So obviously, as your boy Phil Spencer would say, it is a case-by-case basis because this is not the story for everyone that does stuff on Game Pass. That was pretty good. Now, as far as some stuff that I did while I was there, I did go to the Day of the Devs event. That's normally the event they have for indie games. That was the first thing I went to on Sunday. And that was a great event. Just seeing a lot of the smaller titles that are coming out. And I think I've said multiple times on this podcast that 2026 is a great year for video games. But what is coming, a lot of the stuff that's coming, it also is pretty cool, too. So I look forward to seeing if some of those games actually make it out. But that was a great event. A couple other things I will mention because I can't mention everything.
Yes. But
going on to when because, you know, the thing about GDC is that it didn't really start until Wednesday. But obviously, I had a lot of appointments offsite the every day up until Wednesday. So on Monday, I did get a chance to meet with the team behind the first Berserker Kazan.
Ooh, cool.
Because they're working on a lot of other games and they pretty much just wanted to have formal conversations with media that was going to be there to just talk about and let them know about stuff they have that's coming out. So I can say that, you know, I will be covering some of the other stuff they have that's coming out because I think it's pretty interesting. So I would say stay tuned for that. Also, I got a chance to meet up with Atari. You know, I checked out Tony's most anticipated Atari game this year, Bubsy.
Game of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, the game looks fun. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, I did play that at an Atari event last year. You know, pretty cool. Interesting they brought Bubsy back, but yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Finding out some details about the game. Of course, they had a couple other games there. A game that I have never heard of, but I'm sure maybe you guys have, called Sin Reloaded. Well, originally it's called Sin.
Chris, you know that game, Sin.
Oh, yeah, I played it years ago. Yeah.
I remember the horror story you used to have connected with that game.
Well, they are coming out with a remaster, Chris. This is coming out later this year. And I guess they announced this the same day, and then I got a chance to check it out. And I said, oh, well, I could see the inspiration where they got this stuff from. I think this game came out originally back in 1998.
Very Ghost in the Shell inspired, I think. Shiro did designs for it, something like that.
Oh, yeah. And they use the Quake engine, too. Yep. So, yeah, and I was listening to the dialogue, the cocky protagonist talking, tough guy. I thought it was pretty comical. So, yeah, but the remaster looks pretty good. Night Dive Studios is doing it. Okay. So looking forward to seeing
they usually what do else pretty comes good out work. Of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely do a good job with these remasters. So let's see where everything goes from there. There will be some other Atari stuff coming. Obviously, I don't know all the stuff that's coming, but yeah, there is other stuff coming. So I guess we can look forward to some more announcements. After that, I went to Redacted, and I will be able to talk about Redacted next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair unless enough. It gets redacted.
You know?
Yeah. The game is called Redacted, Carlos. That's what I'm going to just say. The location was redacted, and the game is called Redacted. But yeah, stay tuned for that next week.
A lot of redactions.
So the next thing I will talk about is I did go to the Xbox Play Anywhere event because they had one of those little events at they had it at this bar called Victory Hall, which is downtown San Francisco. I went to that event for a couple of hours and checked out some games. Three games in particular I checked out. First and foremost, I'll start with one of the titles that I guess you could say is a much smaller title. It's this game called Hit 'Em Up High Rise.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this game. It's made by The Mix. The Mix actually has a team that makes games, you know, because they did the Rugrats game. The guy who was a part of that did the Rugrats game that came out a while ago and the Power Rangers game that came out last year. But this game here, the concept is pretty much they have taken the popular villains from 90s movies, put them into a jail, and pretty much they basically have to escape a jail. So they go up this whole floor. You know, this is like a beat 'em up action type of game.
That's what I figured by that name.
Yes. It's like a pixel, 2D pixel style. But one thing I think is hilarious about this game, again, they're modeling these characters after popular fighters from movies. So I saw, and I had to contact Adam after I saw this, they got Shownuff in the game. Oh, shit.
Shownuff?
Yeah, I laughed when I saw that. They also had your boy from Bolo.
Oh, shit, Bolo, let's go. Yeah, yo, yeah. When Bolo showed up in a movie, you know shit was about to get real, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm guessing they had to get the approval from his estate to put his character in there.
Well, hey, it's funny you mentioned that, Manny. They obviously didn't announce when this game is coming out. There's some stuff they still need to sort through. Mm. But yeah, they need to make sure that that's not going to be an issue because obviously the character, there isn't no dialogue for any of the characters, but the likeness, you see this, you're like, oh yeah, that's definitely that villain from that movie. So they better be careful with that. I like the idea of what the game is trying to do. But there is one thing that my very good friend Tony Polanco will not like. There are some roguelike elements in it.
Oh, so that's not good.
Yeah, yeah. Where basically you can get you beat up a certain number of people, you'll get items that you can wear, but the items are predetermined whether they help with your health and stuff like that. Mm. But yeah, I mean, obviously need to see more about it, but it looked interesting, so I will say that. The other two games I saw, obviously Mixtape, that's the Annapurna game that's coming out. That's coming out in May.
Yes, I heard you're really looking forward to that one, Rich.
Well, I will admit, I am interested in it because I did play it at Summer Game Fest. The demo that they had at Xbox event was pretty much the same, just a little bit more polished. That game is coming out in May, so yeah, definitely we'll check it out. And then these other two games, by far, these are the games I'm looking forward to the most. There is this game called Replaced. I don't know if you guys have heard of this game or you've seen this game.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. But
this game, that game is badass. I mean, I played the demo. There is a demo out right now on Steam. This is a game they showed at the Xbox conference a long time ago.
This game has been in development for quite a while. I feel like it was shown during like an early Xbox Series X thing.
Is that like a 2D kind of cyberpunk game? Like that's right. Yeah, that was a while ago.
And the thing about the game is, and again, they're trying to relate this to, I guess it's funny because you said it has been in development. The thing about the game is, it's about a AI that basically finds a human body and takes on that human body and then has to fight and all this other stuff as the human. There's a lot more to it, though, but this game is the way they design the game, the combat, and anytime that you get into a fight, they have the cool music playing with when you're fighting. The game is awesome. I just would say definitely check it out if you can, because there is a Steam on there is a demo on Steam right now. But this game is coming out next month, April 16th, I think. Yeah, so all right. Very soon.
Finally,
in the last game, a game that Tony already knows. Invincible Versus.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Game is fantastic. It's fantastic. The build I played, it had all of the updated characters they've announced recently. They had Duplicate in there.
Yeah.
They had Powerplex in there. The only one that wasn't in there is Alan the Alien, because they literally announced that character the same day that they had this thing available. But they did announce they are having another beta next month before the game launches.
Oh, nice.
So I will highly recommend you check that out. And it's funny because they've made improvements to certain stuff. There's like a long list of improvements they were telling me. All the stuff that they've improved based on the player feedback. Obviously, you know, they're working with the FGC community while they're making this game. And I think I saw your boy... Maximilian had a stream the other day talking about the Alan character. So, the game looks awesome, man. And again, it's, you know, Invincible. The new season starts next week. That's a shameless plug for our podcast. We're going to be talking about that show again. But that I think it's awesome that, it's going to be out around the same time as the show. What I did find out in that when I went there is that obviously I asked him about the roster so far. There are two other characters they haven't announced yet, and then there are four other characters that are going to be DLC.
Oh, wow.
So we have to make our guess as to what those characters will be, because they will not provide any of that information right now.
I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to take a guess. Those four characters will be introduced in the next season, because it seems like this game is stuck on the... Like, I'm sorry. What the fuck is Powerplex doing in this game? Like, he was in one issue. But because, Jesse played him on the TV show, now he's a bigger character, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Jesse from Breaking Bad, for you guys who don't know, that's who did the voice for him. He did a good, very good job with Powerplex, but he was supposed to be a one-shot character. Now they're kind of elevating him a little bit. But I'm very curious about Duplicate, because obviously, you know, she uses like multiples of herself and stuff. So that could be like very tricky, you know? So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, yeah. What I saw is that yes, she when she takes damage, you have to switch her out quickly, because yeah, she can get killed off pretty quickly if she stays in the fight and she keeps getting destroyed. So but they definitely switched up a lot of different things with some of the characters. Like I said, looking forward to spending more time with it when the beta comes out next month. But yeah, a lot of stuff is dropping in April, so this is a lot of exciting things to look forward to. But no, the last two things I will mention, because that was the last thing I played that day. I also did check out Razor as well. Very interesting stuff, you know. I will talk about that in the future.
Yeah, embargo for Razor.
Razor Ramon.
Yeah. I will talk about it's like a razor blade. You know, you don't have to pronounce it all funny. It's like a razor blade.
Absolutely. There are some other things that I did see I can't talk about. One thing I will say, though, and I'm just going to say one sentence. Tides of Annihilation. Yes, that's Ooh. It. That's all I will say. Yes. Yes.
Oh.
I know dudes are hyped for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. That's all I could say. I can't say anything else. At least not yet.
Yeah.
Who's making that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually it's not Game Freak. I know that Tencent is involved. That's probably going to not be a positive thing for some individuals. I don't know. The name of the company is called Eclipse Glow Games. Okay. And that's the other thing. This is actually a lot of people are part of that team. They've worked on other games. They've worked for other companies. But this is actually their first game. So it'd be very interesting to see how this game does. But obviously, yes, it got a lot of attention on, you know, when they had it at the State of Play. And then they had some other stuff at the Xbox Showcase. So looking forward to learning some more details. So definitely check that out. But like I said, there are some other things that I would talk about. Cannot talk about it yet. But definitely stay tuned. The Coalition, as well as the Coalition Gaming. I will be having some stuff next week because that's when a lot of embargoes will be ending. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff, man. Sounds like a really awesome GDC overall.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Good stuff. By the way, Jeffrey in the comments says, a bolo in a beat-em-up sold. Yeah, and you can fight bolo against Shonuff. That's wild, man. I wonder if they're going to have the Warriors in there. You know Adam will get that shit real quick, you know? All right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it, man. Unless anybody wants to jump in on any other gaming stuff that happened this week. I think we're done here, man. So let's start wrapping it up. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so definitely working on a couple of different things from GDC. Some other games that I did not mention that I will be able to talk about soon. So stay tuned for that. And of course, I would give a shout out to Mr. Adam Vale because we both have been playing WWE 2K26 and nice. We have got a lot of things to say about that. So much so, we're going to have a discussion about this. So stay tuned for that because that will be coming in the days ahead.
All right, Manny, what you got?
Yes, I certainly do. So yes, what I got right now is Blood and Thunder number 11. It's out on the streets right now. So if you're interested, it's a book written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by EJ, Tech Jacket Team, covered by Carl Randolph and myself. Number two, probably going to stop talking about this now because it's already out on the streets and probably bought it. So Battle Nexus, TMNT Battle Nexus number 5, covered by Carl Randolph and myself on the TMNT 2003 side on the right and on the left. Is the director of TMNT 2012, so it's a cool jam cover. And as always, I keep saying this, but if you do miss out of the on this cover that Kari and I did, you're not, because if you bought the issue, it's on the inside without any of the cover.
Hey.
Also, this is the first time I'm announcing this. I was approved for a C2E2 table, so I'm going be at C2E2 on the 27th of this month. So, So if you're out in Chicago, come visit my table at
Chicago
table M14. It sounds like a rating.
M14. Question of the night: Are you gonna be doing a sleek video again?
A sleek video, like what?
Yeah, with a background, you know, whatever, you know, wherever you're at, like in Chicago.
Yeah,
remember you did that before
your table.
Yeah, like yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll probably take a little video of the table, do all that sort of stuff. I have at least two pieces.
Show the people how to get there. You know.
Yeah, I'll show how to actually walk over and get it. Yeah, I'll try to do something like that, like they did the last time. The other thing, I have two pieces that are one piece is already done, and one piece that I'm working on. So it's a Pragmata piece that I have that I'll have at my table, and then I'll have a Romeo's a Dead Man print. So yeah, I usually stick to the video game stuff. Everybody's every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to be doing Spider-Man and Deadpool and all that stuff, but ain't nobody going to have a BioShock print or a Metal Gear print like me.
There you go.
The Pragmata.
So, yeah, or a Pragmata or a Romeo's a Dead Man. So, yeah. So if you're out in Chicago, come visit. Say hi. What's up?
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I actually did forget to talk about something. And you gave me the perfect segue because you said you're going to C2E2 on March 27th, right?
Yes.
You know what else is coming out March 27th? And it just got we just got the announcement today.
Yes.
So this is a game we were excited about. We, you know, it did get announced like a week or two ago, but we didn't know the release date. Now we know the Marvel Maximum Collection comes out March 27th, people.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
And for those who may not have heard that podcast, has a bunch of old Marvel games, some of my favorites, and some are like, I remember this fucking game being a pain in the ass.
No, man, Silver Surfer.
Yeah, what Silver Surfer. But yeah, we got X-Men, the arcade game, you know, Welcome to Die. And then, I'm so happy about this one. Captain America and the Avengers. I played the fuck out of this game back in the day, man. That's going to be good. The other one, Chris, I'm excited about Spider-Man and X-Men Arcade's Revenge. That was another one. It's really good. Of course, it's called the Maximum Collection for a reason, because the headline game here is Maximum Carnage. And then we have, so this game I didn't play before, Separation Anxiety, Venom Spider-Man. So that'll be my first time playing it. And then, like Manny said, Silver Surfer, that frustrating ass game, you know? You
remember? Go ahead.
You get killed and he'd be weeping on the board. That was me.
Yeah, that was you.
So that game.
I do like in the trailer when they talk about it, they sort of go into detail and start talking about rewind and maybe you'll actually be able to beat Silver Surfer.
Yeah, they know. That fucking game is tough, man. You know, and like, here's the thing. Yes, Nintendo games are hard, but this one was especially tough. You know, that shit was just unfair.
I'm surprised those other Galoob games, or was it not Galoob? I can't remember who made those games, but you know, the Wolverine game, the LJN games, all the other frustrating LJN games aren't on there.
Like I remember the Wolverine game. I remember that shit. Yeah, but Manny, like you said, we need that other collection, the Sega collection with X-Men, you know?
Yeah, we need the Sega collection.
Because I need to know how is the reset going to work for that. Yes. I need to know how that's going to work, bro. And then, of course, the Spider-Man arcade game, we need to get that.
Yes.
With Kingpin was the final boss in that, right?
If I remember Kingpin right. was the final boss, and it had a crazy roster. Like, it was Spider-Man, and then Black Cat. Namor.
Yeah, Namor the Submariner.
What?
Hawkeye, yep.
Yeah, and I think what's her face is in it too? Black Cat.
You said Black Cat already. So Black Cat, Submariner, Spider-Man, obviously. And Hawkeye. And
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye is also Captain America and the Avengers, if I'm correct. Vision is in White Vision is in that. You guys remember White Vision? White Vision. Yeah, why he got to be white? and then, you know, the games have like the arcade game has 6-player online, which is nice. Roll back net code. Let's go. Get the archives, a music player, integrated cheats. You know you're going to need that shit for Silver Surfer. Infinite lives. Let's fucking go. Rewind and save and display options with crisp modern pixels or recreate the Saturday morning experience. CRT. I always say with these retro games, if you don't have a CRT filter, I don't want to play it. I need the CRT because it's meant to look that way. You know, I can't wait.
What about X-Men's got 6 players on it, right? Yep. But
play as Dazzler, baby.
but I'm like, the other question is that do they have the where you can play it like widescreen?
Maybe so it'd be like empty space on the top and bottom to make it really widescreen. What if you have an ultra wide monitor? Maybe that'll work better that way.
Yeah.
Like one of those 32 by 9 aspect ratio monitors. Yeah,
where's the widescreen mode? Because I mean, granted they did have a single screen version, but man, they had that one where you could they had three CRTs like side by side.
Yeah. And who's putting out the this is limited run, right? Yes, it is.
It's limited run with Konami, and I'm guessing they're getting the licenses for those other titles. Yeah.
By the way, speaking about Konami, they're making money. The Silent Hill game sold 5 million copies, and Metal Gear sold 2 million. So Konami's doing good for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Give some leeway to do stuff like this.
Yeah, well, you know, make a little bank, you know, make a little deal with Marvel Games, or I'm sure, I don't know who got this deal to go through. Maybe it was limited run games, but yeah, cool stuff.
Good stuff, man. All right, now we're really done, so let's wrap it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, join the Discord, and check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys. We will see you on Sunday later.
Hey. Really?